All right, you're live on the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And John taking another sabbatical from this week's show.
A snoozer on purpose.
I guess. So we're a little late today starting. Don't worry. We told you we were going to be this late. Everybody relax.
Ish.
We did. I posted it up on the Book of Faces. And I think we said...
One. It's 1:35.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's just normal fucking operating time for us. But we had... Well, last week we said two. Yeah, I think we did. I'm pretty sure we did. Whatever. We're late. Deal with it. All right, patrons. Thank you so much for being involved in the show. Remember to send your show ideas and your show topic concepts to us. Ideas and concepts are different because some of you guys are sending us like full-on questionnaires. Answer all these questions. Well, yeah, we'll do that. If you're a patron, yeah, we're going to do that. Right? Others of you guys are sending us just your general show ideas. Hey, can you talk about this topic? Yep, absolutely. We'll do that too. It's really easy to get us to talk about your show. Pretty much if you send it to us, we're probably going to talk about it because we don't have enough people send us the ideas. Now, some of you guys are overlapping or you ask for the same stuff, so be it. But we've got some amazing show ideas currently in process. So, wow. Some of you guys have given us some amazing, amazing ideas. So we appreciate that. Don't forget, $5 and above giveaway.
Yeah.
Ending next week. Mm-hmm. Got to have it in before, what did we say? Show start time.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, we'll say show start time next week to be entered in the giveaway. We only have a few entries so far.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get, we're going to be doing a first and second. So we're grabbing two patrons. Each of you guys are going to get a $50 gift certificate to Remora Holsters, which is a free holster and then some. You'll get at least one holster and a mag carry. You can get a couple holsters, whatever. They're really cost effective. We use them. They're great. I've been using them for years. So great thing that Remora has done for us. And we're going to be giving those away. All you got to do is send us the title and date of your favorite show. Email it to us or text it to or message us or whatever. Info@trainingaz.com is the easiest way to get it to us. We're going to randomly select from that list before next week's show. And then what else we're going to do is we're going to pick out of those top shows, we're going to pick our top three favorite shows out of those shows. And then we're going to make sure we post up links to those so you guys can easily access them. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. Get you guys involved. And right now the opportunity for you to win is great. I mean, this is kind of why we stopped doing the giveaways because we were literally just like giving shit away to the same fucking half a dozen people. But whatever, man. I mean, you guys have the opportunity to get stuff. We've had listeners who have received way more in value from products and giveaways than they ever paid in patron fees. So, yeah, there you go. There's an opportunity for you to win a couple holsters. All right. All right. What else we got going on? In the news, I don't know. I don't care anymore. Stuff's happening. There you go.
Biden fell down a bunch of stairs.
Oh, jeez. What the fuck? Is that guy even real? You know what I mean? What the fuck? I don't get it, dude. I don't get it. There's some crazy stuff going on in our government today.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot.
And it's not just actually us. I was reading Atlas News this morning, actually, and they had a huge riot in Piccadilly over the weekend. Because guess what? Their law is also trying to throw some shitty-ass regulations their way that are going to be blocking some of their freedom of speeches and freedom of assembling and everything else like that. So now their people took to the streets to riot and blew up a bunch of cop cars because it's going to take away a ton of their freedoms that they have.
Fuck around and find out, I guess.
Yeah. So they're like, yeah, nope, we'll tea party our own place. New America?
Freaking turds.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's not just happening in our government. It's happening in the UK.
Definitely good to know.
I like Atlas News.
It's a good news source.
It is. Yeah. Oh, they also, Russia bombed Syria. I saw that also on Atlas News.
Syria's been bombed a lot lately.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Fuck around and find out, I guess.
There's way too much international conflict stuff we could sit here and talk about. I try to stay away from it because it just blows my mind. But all right, Redwire Gear Moment brought to you today by Redwire Gear, who is not in the studio with us, but is diligently working and doing his thing.
But is he, though?
But is he?
Is he? Or is he just being lazy?
Personal innovation of your equipment. During our carbine class yesterday, I saw several grips, mags, pouches, carriers, things of that nature that have been modified by the end user. A little extra stitching here, a little chip chop right here to make this thing more workable for me. Do it. I'm a huge fan of it.
Yeah.
Where do you think all this shit came from? It came from end users, for the most part. It came from end users, either feedback to a company or their own modifications. Modify your own gear. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Right? Understand the risk you're taking. You might break something. And don't modify, like, internal components on guns unless you know what the hell you're doing, because you don't want to create an unsafe environment for yourself. But when it comes to typical, like, gear, stuff you're going to hang on to a gun or off your body or, you know, equipment or whatever, don't be afraid. Give it a shot. I've modified a lot of stuff over the years and been very happy with the results most of the time. Sometimes I've made some big mistakes and that sucks, but overall, pretty happy with the results. So don't be afraid to modify your gear, man. Be innovative. I see more and more innovation out there, more and more people, especially with social media, who are starting to make a name for themselves, making gear or making this thing or that thing, just because they thought, hey, I got a problem and I think I got a solution to it. And then they made it and bam, solution, and we're good. Something to think about. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. All right. Today, we're going to have a bit of a short show, just because we got other stuff we have on our very busy schedule today. Doing the show later in the day definitely compresses the amount of time we're going to have.
The amount of rants, you mean?
Yeah. I'm going to try not to rant. The show topic is actually pretty rant-worthy, though.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. After we just spent 10, 15 minutes prior to the show...
I was pre-ranting.
Yeah, you were.
All right. The topic today is firearms training methodology on static square box ranges. Here are the problems that people run into with ranges and range access. Problem number one, access.
Mm-hmm.
We are aware as a training company that the majority of people we put through classes, unless they're in a training class or at a competition or something like that, they will not have access to the kinds of ranges that we have access to. That's a bummer. If you do have access to land, public land or private land, you may not have access to either the targetry, the barricades, or even just the amount of land or the type of land that you might need access to. So range access is always going to be a struggle for you.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we're going to be talking about how to get the most out of, like, training by yourself on those types of ranges. So I don't want to talk about that here now. I want to save that for next week. But today, I mostly want to talk about the problems with most range training. So the obvious square box range training issues that we have are things like lay the gun on the table, pick the gun up, shoot the target, put the gun back down on the table. Now, there are limitations to this kind of training. Obviously, moving, positional, things like that might not be possible here. Drawing from a holster, presentation, turning and shooting, the things that we would really like to practice are difficult to practice. It's hard for people to jump in their car, go to the range, and shoot out of their vehicle. For us, we just schedule the range. But for other people, much more difficult, and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
So the first part is just really access. My biggest piece of advice I give students is stop thinking everything has to be live fire. You can practice plenty of vehicle techniques in your car, in your garage, or your driveway, or whatever, safely. All dry practice should be done with a double, even triple check that all live ammunition has been removed from both the firearms and the area. There's no live fire ammunition available anywhere in the area. In fact, I always recommend people use the barrel block system. Hands down, my favorite system to use for dry practice with your real guns. It's impossible to load a gun with a barrel block in it. Fucking the name is, it's in the name, right? And it's easy to identify that a gun has a barrel block in it.
Yeah.
Now, they're only 4, 9, 40, 45 caliber handguns and 223s, which can be modified to fit your 300 black. All that said, utilize those things in a dry practice environment. Once you get pretty good with the trigger, and you don't have to be perfect with it, dry practice, once you understand the fundamentals of what you're supposed to be doing with the trigger, my perspective is you're not really going to see any advantage by dry practicing trigger press. You're just not. You're not going to see any big advancement or increase in capability. You will see with dry practice, you know, your movement, manipulation, unconventional positions, close quarters techniques, yada, yada. You'll get lots of dry practice from that because what you really need, what your body really needs is those good, solid repetitions to create that reflexive response of doing whatever it is, drawing from concealment, whatever. Most of the time when I go to the range, people are surprised to hear me say this in classes. I don't stand in front of a target at the range and practice unconcealing my pistol and shooting it. I don't need to waste my limited amount of time on a live fire range unconcealing my pistol and shooting it. I'm perfectly happy to work with my pistol in the open, open carry or whatever, right? Or just tuck my shirt behind my gun or whatever. Because I can take the dry practice time, which is fucking just about any time I can fit it in. It doesn't have to be scheduled. There's no drive. I don't have to drive 45 minutes to a range. Some of these people, I know I've talked to students who have to drive 2 hours to a range.
Yeah.
Some of you guys maybe more, right? Some of you guys are like, fuck that. I shoot in my backyard. Awesome. Good for you. You have no fucking excuse to suck then, I guess.
Yeah.
But when you have limited time on the range it's a monthly or even quarterly thing that you have the time to do, consider what you're going to get the most benefit out of. If I have 2 hours on the range, how much time do I need to spend drawing from concealment versus, yeah, I need to check the skill, make sure it's up to speed, but versus just drawing the gun and presenting it and using it and actually getting marksmanship practice in. Practice more of your moving and shooting. You can practice dry running, getting the gun out all you want. Now I want to practice first shot presentation. Not just drawing the pistol, but get my first shot presentation and my movement, my unconventional positions, or whatever it is that I can utilize. So that's probably the first training methodology thing I would talk about on static square box ranges is use whatever range you have access to work on actual live fire and leave all that manipulation stuff. And I mean, we do that in training classes because we're teaching people everything along the way. We're giving them the full package. We don't have a dry practice class, right? Yeah. No one would fucking come to it. People are like, I'd go. No, you fucking wouldn't, because I guarantee if I scheduled it for tomorrow, you wouldn't fucking show up, right? I know how this has been. I've been in the industry long enough to know, all right? People say they want to, but then in the end, it's not very exciting. They're not going to fucking go. Though these days, they probably should go because of the craziness with ammo and availability and all that.
Yeah.
The real problem, though, with square box ranges isn't necessarily what people are doing there. It's how they're doing it. So we see this in our training programs all the time. And I gave Drew an example earlier. I was much more animated about it because I could stand up and demonstrate it to her. But basically, without some crazy Instagram bullshit Russian crazy Spetsnaz video or whatever, where we're shooting past each other. It's not we're shooting at each other, shooting past each other to hit targets or any of that kind of bullshit. It wasn't that. But sometimes in class, we'll show how a staggered firing line is not a problem. And that, you know, I'll have one of the instructors who's several yards away from me to left or right be offset from me forward or back, and we'll be engaging the targets in front of us.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And I know every NRA certified instructor right now is shitting their pants. What? You mean people aren't dressed right, dressed on the range? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's okay if somebody is a half step behind or a couple steps behind or in front of somebody else. Watch your muzzles.
Yeah.
Pay attention to firearm safety. What do you think is going to happen when we pick you up from that square range box environment and drop you off in the parking lot? People are taught muzzle direction only downrange. As long as we keep all our muzzles downrange, we'll be fine. That is a shit way straight out of the gate to teach people. And I've heard other instructors say, well, when they're a basic level instructor, you do want to teach them how to just keep the gun pointed downrange. Listen, fucking no. I don't teach anybody to keep the muzzle pointed downrange. I fucking don't. I don't teach anyone to keep it pointed downrange. I teach them to keep it pointed in a direction they're willing to put bullets. Willing. Not desirous. Willing to put bullets. As I move through my house, there is no downrange.
Yeah. I don't understand. I've never really even understood that thought process, because if you train like that and you're ever in a real situation, I mean, you're going to revert right back to your training.
And people think, oh, I'll tell the difference. No, you fucking won't. No, you won't.
Yeah.
Ask millions of service members and law enforcement officers just how we might possibly fucking know that. You don't magically grow new skills and abilities under stress. You don't. It's been proven over and over again. It's uncontestable at this point. Do people do weird shit? Yeah. Do people unexpectedly rise to the occasion? To an extent, yes, within their capacity.
Yeah, not everyone.
But it's still within their capacity. Have I seen incredibly athletic people do amazing things under stress? Yes. We are like, wow. That's incredible that they did that under stress. Wow, they really rose to the occasion. Yeah, they were prepared for that. They were athletically, physically, mentally capable of that. Mm-hmm. I've seen way more people fall apart. Because if you're not capable of doing it, you're not suddenly going to grow that ability. Just because it hasn't necessarily been how you've trained to do it. Like, has a guy trained to pick up his 250-pound partner and run him across the battlefield? I don't know if anyone – I mean, yeah, maybe they took a TCCC class or something one time, and he was like, oh, you got to buddy carry your guy off the field for 50 meters or whatever. This dude sprints 200 fucking meters over varied terrain under gunfire. No one fucking trained that guy how to do that. But he pulled it off, and it's like, wow – greater love hath no man than he would lay down his life for his brother. Yeah, and guess what? Greater love hath no man than he would lay down his life for his brother, who, because of forethought of love of said brother, physically was fit so that if said brother got fucked up, the dude could pick him up and run 200 meters across the battlefield while getting shot at.
Yeah.
You don't see no Fatty McFatFat fucking pulling that shit off. You don't see somebody with no cardio pulling that shit off. You don't see someone who can't lift 250 pounds pulling that shit off. Now, maybe I only lift 200 pounds at the range and a little bit of adrenaline and stress enables me to lift that extra 50 pounds. Okay, I'll believe that.
Yeah.
But if you're on in the gym and you're pushing 100, are you suddenly going to pick up 250? No, you're fucking not. So one of the biggest problems that I see on static ranges is that people train unrealistically.
Yeah.
Right? They're not training to an extent of like – this is what I'm truly and actually capable of doing. And under these circumstances, these are the skill sets that I might need. Now, you don't have to live fire moving around people with guns. Again, put some barrel blocks in. Go into your living room, your backyard, your garage, wherever you're comfortable doing it. And move around your training partners, your spouse, your significant other, your family members, your friends, whoever it is. And practice moving around them with firearms. What now is appropriate muzzle direction? Because all muzzles are not always pointed downrange. Yes, if you go to a public range and you're shooting from the table, shoot, 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 put the gun back on the table. Yes, all guns must be pointed downrange.
Yeah.
But now I've got to turn and run away or move to a better position or move forward without flagging everybody. We do a simple exercise and square range habits come out. Oh my God, do they become apparent here. So apparent. We do simple exercises in all of our programs, most of our defensive level and low light programs, but we try to do it in all the programs, honestly, where we put no shoots in front of people, innocents. Don't point your guns at these people. We tell people vehemently beforehand, don't point your guns at these people. We go through felonies. A legal briefing. Yeah, we go through a legal briefing. What's that, Drew? What were you saying?
Not unless you want felonies.
And we talk about the potential results and consequences of pointing your guns at people who don't deserve it. Hell, they may fucking think you're the bad guy and shoot back.
Yeah.
There's a number of things, reasons why you don't want to point your guns at people who don't deserve it. And we will brief people and we will think we're kind of scaring people. And then we'll put them under a little bit of stress. And by stress, it's not even stress of like having to perform against another human being. We'll just put them under stress of having to perform in front of other people. Mm-hmm. That's it. They don't even have to go against other people yet. Just in front. And 25% at least of the class, yesterday was 50%, will sweep the innocent person with their muzzle. A rifle muzzle at 3 yards.
Now, what would happen if you say, I don't know, you don't have great trigger discipline and your finger just happened to be on the trigger and
you're under stress
and you trip over something? Could be a Lego, a rock, I mean, a dog. Then what?
Or maybe the person says, hey, I understand under stress. It really sucks. and I forgive you. But the state, who can always bring charges against an individual, even if the individual to whom which the crime was done decides not to press charges, the state decides, we don't like you assaulting
our people,
our citizens, and pointing guns at them when they don't deserve it, is aggravated assault. So we're going to go ahead and charge you with that. It doesn't mean you're going to be convicted, but you have to defend yourself now.
Mm-hmm.
Or God forbid, it's me, and someone's like, hey, hey, look out, look out. And I turn around and someone's pointing a gun at me. Guess what happens next? Gunfight time.
Yeah.
Right? And now it's good guy on good guy, and that's not fucking cool at all.
Yep.
So little shit like that about just not thinking about muzzle loading. But my muzzle was pointed downrange. Yeah, but it wasn't pointed in a direction you were willing to put a bullet. So we see that problem with square range stuff, right? Where, especially if we go back to what we're talking about, offsetting instructors, where people are like, no, we have to be totally square. We have to be totally in line. It's like, no, you move at a different path, a different speed, a different gait and cadence than the person next to you. So just move and they'll move and then you shoot ahead at your target. Keep your muzzle pointed on the thing you're willing to put bullets in and keep doing that. And then throughout your post-shot assessment and throughout everything else you're going to do, keep your muzzle pointed in a direction you'd be willing, not desirous, but willing to put bullets. The end.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we dangerously put anybody down range. It's not an Instagram stunt video. But we do have people not perfectly lined up. Hell, we'll be doing static drills, just static manipulation concepts. And people would be like, ask the guy next to him, hey, can you step up a little bit? Step up a little bit. He's literally 6 inches behind you. Oh, yeah, but he's not on the line here. Now, he's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to make him move. He's fine. I know you're used to shooting shoulder to shoulder. That is a square range habit. It's not beneficial to people in the real world. You will watch video after video of people in the real world literally not engaging until they are shoulder to shoulder with each other, online with each other. We see law enforcement officers do it. We see military guys do it. People have never unconventionally been on a range or been on an unconventional range is a better way to say that, and have only ever shot shoulder to shoulder will fucking line up to shoot like the damn Revolutionary War. It blows my fucking mind. That's one of the bad habits people create.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dumb shit people do that's based on square range habits. The simple scan and assess, or what we like to call the post-shot assessment, which should be a conscious assessment of your environment to include your firearm, targets, this good is, guys, bad guys, exits, all that shit.
This is one of the things that annoys me the most, is seeing people whip their head back and forth like as fast as they can and then rush back into the holster. I'm like, what the fuck was that? What are you doing? Well, I was looking around. For fucking what? Did you see anything when you were looking around? Because I sure as shit couldn't when you're whipping your head to the side so fast and then slamming your gun back in your holster. Like, holy fuck.
Well, most of the time we'll stand behind somebody. If I see someone doing that, instead of correcting, I'll stand behind them when they're shooting. And then when they're all done with their scan and assess, I'll go bang.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And I go, you're dead. You never even looked behind you. You have no idea I'm even fucking standing back here.
Yeah.
But you sure whipped your head to the left and whipped your head to the right, yanked your gun out of the fight and jammed it back in the holster because you saw some faggot on Instagram do that. I'm sorry, I can't say faggot on the show anymore. You saw some idiot on Instagram do that. How about that?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Like, here's the problem. That is a square range habit that specifically builds bad, that specifically builds bad habits for real world engagements.
Yeah.
It's a serious problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to see what you actually need to see. Or people will jam their gun back in the holster and I'll walk them and go, or drop their rifle on their sling and I'll go, okay, tell me, without looking, what did you see? Describe everything you just saw.
Describe your partner two people down.
Yep.
What color shirt is he wearing?
Yep. Well, I was scanning for threats. Okay. You were scanning for threats. The target left to you. Where are the hits generally? The target to the right of you. Where are the hits generally? High chest, mid chest, low, head. Give me an idea where your partner's shooting. You said you scanned targets. You didn't see shit. And we'll ask it, class, okay, those of you guys who just did the head whip, Why do you need to do that on a target range?
Well, I don't know. I just looked at it and saw it on YouTube, and like I follow this guy, and he's really cool. He's got
using the special forces.
He's got like a million followers, and it's like really cool to do. And then he whips his shirt back, and then he's got like that Hawaiian shirt and his mustache, and he just slams it back in there.
Easy on the mustache.
So fucking rad.
Or they go, because I have to train myself to look around. You want to run that past me again, Hondo? You have to train yourself to look around. You mean doing a post-shot assessment? You do need to train yourself to do a post-shot assessment. That might not include looking around. A post-shot assessment does not always include looking around. Yeah. It doesn't. When I am shooting a competition, my post-shot assessment does not include whipping my head to the left or the right or looking around maybe at all. Depending on the nature of the competition, my post-shot assessment is, did I hit that target? If I'm shooting a long-range competition and I engage a target, my post-shot assessment is done through the optic on target. Did I hit that target? If not, where did I hit? If I need to gauge my wind, how fast is it going? Where's the dust moving, etc.? I do not come off the gun and whip my head left and right or scan with my rifle left and right. That would be ridiculous.
Well, a lot of people...
I don't do that with hunting. I might not even do that with self-defense.
Yeah.
What is the context of what just happened? I'm in my house and a shitbag comes to the front door. I watch the door get fucking booted and a shitbag comes through it and I fucking ice him right there in the threshold.
Do I need to
whip my head left and right? No, I fucking do not.
I probably want to look at your gun to probably reload, right?
I mean, you probably want to look at some other shit. There's a lot of, I'd probably want to move. I'd probably want to check on stuff. I'd probably want to verbally start communicating. The post-shot assessment is way more than just whipping my head left and right.
Yeah.
But on a square range, you can get away with anything you want because there's no real threat.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just, you know, there's, like you said, there's way more things that need to be done versus just whipping your head back and forth. Because if you're in your own house and you're whipping your head back and forth, what the fuck are you looking for? Are you looking for more people? Maybe I would take some time to maybe scan slower and assess what the fuck just happened.
I might have to be moving around. There's objects, tables and couches, beds,
if you
whatever.
Have kids like us, fucking Legos.
I'm getting down on the ground. I'm looking underneath shit. Yeah. I'm getting over stuff. I'm using my handheld or even my weapon-mounted light to look over here, look over there. I'm verbalizing to people. I'm verbalizing to Drew. I'm verbalizing to the kids. I'm calling the fucking dogs out. I'm making sure the dogs are still alive, right?
Yeah.
I'm shutting the fucking door. I'm turning the lights on. There's a lot of shit I'm going to do other than stand statically and whip my head left and right. A post-shot assessment is very rarely going to be done whipping my head left and right.
Yeah.
I might stand static. In some environments, I might not.
Yeah.
If I'm hunting, I'm not going to blast a deer and then jump up and fucking run to the left or right. Take one side, step to the left, and scan and assess with your weapon. No, why would I do that? I just killed a deer over there.
Yeah.
I should probably check through my optic and make sure he's dead.
Yeah.
Or if he runs off, which way did he go? Right? So people think, oh, well, that's out of context. No, it's not. Context is the whole thing we're trying to add here. I'll catch people doing that shit on the range. I'm like, where'd you learn that? Or my favorite is when they lower their gun to a cool low ready, and then they tank turret back and forth. I'm checking left. I'm checking right. Okay, imagine this. Imagine, you train yourself to do that. Yes, that way I can scan for active threats. Okay, all right. So imagine this. Tonight, you're in the Safeway parking lot. Okay? Happens to be the same Safeway I go to. All right? I'm walking out. I got my freaking handful of groceries. I'm bebopping along to fucking T-Swift in my head. All right, I got the kids with me. I'm like wrangling kids. I got groceries. We're talking about going home, having some M&Ms, watching a movie. Hey, man, I'm eyes up, right? I'm not stupid. I pay attention. And all I see is you, wham, 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 fucking murder someone, as far as I'm concerned, to the ground and then start swinging your gun around. You know what I'm going to do? This is no shit. If you're within what I consider a problematic arc of me and my family, I'm going to drop my fucking groceries. I'm going to pull my fucking gun and I'm going to issue you one verbal command. And if you do not immediately comply, which probably because I scan left and right, but you've probably never, ever, fucking ever practiced your verbals against another human while you had a gun in your hand, you're going to go, what? And you're going to turn toward me the gun and I'm going to go, here we go.
Yeah. Well,
I just watched you, from my perspective, murder someone. Then start swinging your gun around, and then when I verbally issued you, stop, do not move, you fucking turn toward me, I'm going to light you up like a Christmas tree, and folks, I'm a pretty good fucking shooter. I'm probably going to hit you a lot. So you want to train that fucking shit? Go for it. Don't be surprised if you don't get shot or get shot by an active duty cop or an on-duty cop, an off-duty cop, or whatever.
Or another
concealed carry. A CTO, that's what I'm talking about. Me, right? Yeah,
some other person.
Me, I'm guessing I'm kind of saying it's me
as a CTO,
putting it on all of our people who are probably listening, like, yeah, I would fucking do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, we had a comment on the Facebook, flag me and it's going to be a bad day. Yeah, that's my point, right?
Yeah. Something well, from yesterday, or I mean, not yesterday, last week, bleeding into this week, it goes right back into how do you handle yourself in a stressful situation? Can you mentally prepare for that? That's one of the things that you can mentally prepare for, because you are going to be so far into tunnel vision after you smoke some dude or pull your gun out, because this is going to be a real life situation that you mentally are not preparing for. What you're mentally prepared for is being on a static range shooting static targets. Mm. That's what you're mentally prepared for. Now you have a gun in your hands and you're sweeping left to right with people. You may not hear commands. Mm-hmm. You may your ears may just shut completely down.
Auditory exclusion.
Correct. And you might be like, oh my gosh, I don't know what just happened. Holy shit. Did I, you know, there's many, many things, you know, from last week bleeding into this. So practicing static is dangerous. It's a very, very dangerous game that you're playing when you're whipping your head left and right to be cool.
Understand what you're accomplishing when you're on a static square box range. For the most part, unless you're under the guidance of someone who's working you through exercises that are specifically designed to get you off of a square box range,
mm-hmm.
that you are mainly practicing just the shooting part, which is usually the end or towards the end of the engagement. Everything that happened previous to that, the verbals, the movement, light application, tactics, deterring, delaying, defending, all that stuff, combatives, et cetera, all that shit, you're not practicing that on the range most of the time. Now, you should be.
Yeah.
I would say we're relatively unique in most of our programs that we talk about the law, we go over verbals, we have entire classes that are based on verbals and close contact work and have very, very little to do with live fire shooting.
Which is one of the
funnest
classes ever, because you literally get to name call somebody anything you want.
You get to talk shit with no script, which is one of the most hilarious things that students do is talk shit with no script. Because there's some real introverts that struggle with it and then there's some real extroverts who don't struggle with it, and it's fucking hilarious either way. But those kinds of programs where you get the opportunity to do force on force, actually doing a show here in a few weeks about force on force and how to incorporate it, you know, in your life. But it's like, dude, use force on force techniques. What techniques work and what techniques don't? On a square box range, everything works.
Yeah.
You're shooting at a static, compliant, non-competitive target with no initiative and no free will. Do whatever you want. You can eye poke him and then pow pow shoot him from retention, post it on Instagram, and everyone will think you're fucking awesome.
Just feeding your dog.
Oh.
French fries.
So in a real world environment, that's not gonna fucking work.
Yeah.
I mean, it might, maybe a low percentage opportunity. I want high percentage. So pit your skills against lots of other different people. Like, well, I did against my buddy. I fucked him up. Yeah, because your buddy's a fucking idiot. Anybody could beat your buddy. My kids could beat your fucking buddy. Try it against 12, 15, 20 fucking people and see how it works. Keep trying the same techniques and see what's going to work most of the time. Nothing works all the time. So what are your solutions that are 75% or greater? That's what we want. 75% or greater. What's going to work at least that many times? Always be asking why. Why are we doing this? What is the benefit? Why am I doing this exercise? What am I getting out of this exercise? How is my skill set, my awareness, my combative level, my capability improving? How is it improving? Why am I doing this exercise?
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you, you train with us or any of our associates that we recommend people to, I can always tell you why I do what I do. And I can probably tell you why I don't do other shit. And if you show me something, I might say, yeah, I can tell you exactly why I do that. Or I don't really know much about that. Show it to me and I'll see if I can dissect it a little bit. And maybe it's a better way. Let's find out. Let's pressure test it. Not once. Oh, yeah, I did it against my buddy and it fucking worked. Yeah. I don't care. That's an anecdotal. Oh, one time I was in the Iraqistan and I did it like this. I killed a man. Okay. Once. I don't care, man. He fucking blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then. Like, it happened. Anecdotal.
Mm-hmm.
Give me 100 experiences, 1,000, 10,000. You just look at what square range habits are you building. I mean, look at everything you do on the range. Literally start today. Look at everything. How you load, how you move, how you stand. It's a huge, huge hurdle for us on every single class just to get people to stand like they're in a fight. Well, yeah, I like to stand like this when I shoot. I know you like to stand
and
like that
we'll
when you shoot.
And then we'll practice it all day.
And they'll still fuck it up.
They'll still, like in Top Shot, I'll notice if they're running and gunning and they're not in a fighting stance, they go straight back into like standing straight up and like they're like this. And I'm like, where the fuck? What?
And we're not talking about that stupid squatting crawl stance, that turtled up shoulder bullshit. I'm not talking about that. But talking about a more aggressive, hip squared, shoulder squared, good posture, ability to move, ability to deliver hits, ability to receive them, a more athletic base, right? Like, let's just see that.
Yeah.
And people have a hard time applying that because they've done so much square range shooting.
Or where you sitting can shoot down and shooting.
To be a dick sometimes. I mean, I do it to prove a point, but sometimes just to be a dick. I'll be like, yeah, you see that target over there? If it's a handgun class, I'll do this. I'll turn my pistol upside down. I'll stand on one fucking foot. I'll look a pistol upside down, pull the trigger with my pinky, and hit the fucking steel. That is a shooting stance.
Yeah.
Not a good shooting stance, or is it? Because I hit the fucking target, didn't I? Is that a fighting stance? No, it's not. I'll do the same thing with a carbine. People are like, yeah, but I'll go, okay, I'll put my carbine in my left hand. Of course, I'm right-handed. I'll put it in my left hand. I'll hold it directly out in front of me like it's a pistol. I'll stand on one foot. I'll look down the optic-ish. Pew! I'll fucking shoot it one-handed and hit a steel target. And I'm like, hey, man, look at that shooting stance. I applied all the fundamentals with that shitty-ass shooting stance, and I still hit the target.
Mm-hmm.
Now, imagine if I was in a fight like that. I'd get rickety-wrecked.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the difference. I'm trying to just break those habits. Like when you're on the shooting range, you can stand any way you want. You can fumble those reloads. You can mess up that manipulation. Well, I don't want to tap the bottom of the magazine for our rack to, you know, check that ferret of fire. Okay. I've been on the range for, I've been shooting for 20 years and I've never had that problem.
Yeah.
Like, I know. On the range, you've never had that problem. On the square box range against a non-competitive compliant target. You've never had that problem. I get it. But what if, let's just say, it was snowing outside. It was raining outside. It was dark outside. You were tired from a full day's work. You were tired from being sick. You were just tired. You were hungry. You were preoccupied and distracted. I know y'all walk around in condition fucking yellow or whatever gay shit you want to fucking talk about. But I'm telling you, you get distracted. And you're distracted. And then some shit happens. How are you going to react to that? And you're like, oh, then my fucking magazine wouldn't come out. I know, I fucking told you it wouldn't. On the range, when I was like, yo, don't hit the button and expect it to drop free.
Yeah.
Well, it does every time I'm on the fucking square range. I fucking know it does. What about when you're not on the square range? What about when some dirt gets packed in there? What about when you just rolled around on the ground? We see this in close contact all the time. Real Glocks converted to UTMs. People are fighting over them. They get a pistol. They bring it up to shoot. It is chock full of fucking dirt. There's dirt in the trigger. There's dirt in the fucking magwell. There's dirt in the magazine. There's dirt in the fucking chamber. And then the gun won't run. And it's all crunchy and shitty. They get a couple rounds off. Maybe it has a malfunction. They're trying to fix it. You go to pull the magazine out. There's fucking little tiny rocks jammed in there. To rip that shit out with full fucking strength. Jam that fucker back in there. Rack that slide with real authority. And then they can finally get the gun working again.
My favorite is when the
that
gun's
shit happened.
Not
That's
firing.
Real.
And they just stand there and look at the gun. And you're like, fix the fucking problem.
They've never practiced that. They go, well, when I'm on the range and I have a problem, I take all the time I need. I fix the problem. And then I just keep shooting again. Instead
that
of like,
makes me
what other options do you have? Which, of course, is the other square range problem.
Yeah.
What other options do you have? Okay, my gun stops working. Stop and think. Why are you doing it this way? Is it a universal solution? Could you pick up any weapon system and do it like that? Is it a universal solution and then it works at least 75% of the time in at least 75% of the circumstances? Does it work at least most of the time? Contextualize it, man. Contextualize it. I don't even know how many times during the week. Should put a contextualized counter on my belt. Every time I say contact, boop, boop, just click it one time.
Oh, my God.
I bet I say it 1,000 fucking times a week. Probably. Some classes, I think I say it 1,000 times. I say it on the show all the time. Context, man. It's all about context. How am I applying this skill? Do you only shoot on the range? I forget everything I said on the show. Enjoy shooting on the range. Have fun. Right? Go to the range. Pay your $15 or whatever. Shoot at your target. The RO commands you. Do your thing. Shoot your gun. That's fine. There's plenty of people who own guns, and that's all they want to do with them. No problem with that whatsoever. I don't care how people use their guns. As long as you use them safely and legally and don't infringe on anyone else's liberty with them, use your guns however the fuck you want to. I don't give a shit. If that's how you want to do it, if your life is the square box range, then go there. But I think most of our listeners are not those people.
Yeah.
They're concealed carriers, they're law enforcement, they're military. There's some way they're thinking, I'm going to be using this gun for self-defense or protection in one way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Get off the square range. We see so many habits. Why, in a law enforcement qualification, my cops out there, check this out. Ask yourself why everything is done the way it's done in a qual. It's all for range safety. One step to the left. Move. Like, are you fucking kidding me? You're going to tell me one step to the left, and then I'm going to fucking waddle one step to the left, and then I'm going to draw and shoot? Who do you think that's stopping? What determined attacker do you think that's stopping? And you watch it. You go, my fellow, you know, video watchers, right? My cops especially. Watch this shit. Watch just body cam after body cam of cops not being able to effectively fucking move because they've never been taught on the range how to move with a gun in their hand. Yesterday, I thought I was going to blow this one cop's mind clear out of his fucking skull when we were not doing square range shit. I had to get like super verbal and vocal with him and get him to understand, like, stop thinking that the world is a box. It's not a box.
Yeah.
And the only part of the box that's important, it's not even, it's like people are in a box, but they're not actually in a box, they're actually on the edge of the box. And the only part of the world that matters to them is everything in front of them in a box. Everything that's behind them doesn't matter because behind me, that's uprange. And I'm never allowed to turn uprange with a gun in my hand. I'm never allowed to move uprange with a gun in my hand. I've never learned to, it blows my mind. Some agencies, security agencies, concealed carry classes, ranges don't allow you to holster a live gun. And like go to the bathroom or walk back up, you know, to the tables and fucking handle your shit. And they're like, well, it's all for range safety. Because, you know, it was one time we had this guy in the bathroom and he pulled his gun out of his holster. Oh, okay. What are you, a fucking Democrat? What the fuck is wrong with you? You're going to take what one person does and apply it to fucking everybody? Yeah, I'm sure there's a hole in the bathroom floor because some dumb asshole pulled his fucking gun out, doesn't know how to handle it, and shot it. So punish that dude. Don't punish me. I got to take a shit. I don't want to unload my fucking gun. I'm going to go into the bathroom with my live gun. I'm going to handle it safely and appropriately. And I'm going to come back out of the bathroom having never shot anything in the bathroom. Unless someone attacks me in the bathroom. Super sucks.
Or you're Casa Grande stand and there's that round that goes through.
I don't know if someone ND'd through that fucking thing or someone shot it straight up. It looks
no,
like an ND.
Because it goes all the way through it.
Oh, someone might have just shot it through.
Yeah.
It's who knows down there.
But it's funny. I just remember sitting there and I was like, that wasn't here yesterday.
Yeah, you're like, oh, look at that bullet hole that goes all the way through this fucking port-a-john. It makes you sort of nervous about sitting in the port-a-john. Yeah. You line it up, y'all. That lines up perfectly with my chest cavity. Fuck.
Actually, no, it's down by the ground.
I'm just kidding.
But yeah, you're like, oosh.
But my point is, like, that's a serious problem.
Yeah.
So the problem with most training, law enforcement, military, even CCW classes and quote-unquote defensive handgun level classes and shit I see organizations teaching is that they're like, all right, here's what we do. We expect you to act one way when you're on the range training with us.
But when it's go time,
you're going to have to do something.
Better not fuck up.
Here on the range, you're not allowed to have a loaded gun in the holster. Here on the range, you're not allowed to go to the bathroom with a loaded gun. Here on the range, you're not allowed to leave the firing line with a loaded gun. Oh, but when you leave, go ahead and load your gun up.
Yeah.
So in a controlled training environment, we don't want you to have a loaded gun. Under the supervision of instructors and range officers, we don't want you to have a loaded gun. But then as soon as you leave, go ahead and load your gun up and go out among the public, no one of which is going to be watching you for safety or trying to teach you anything, and feel free to handle your gun however the fuck you want.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. I would rather be on a training range in a training class and have a student inappropriately pull their gun out of the holster and go, stop, let me correct your behavior right now. Let me teach you why that's not good.
Yeah.
than to manage that, than allow that person to go off the range and manage them. I mean, fuck, that's why they pay us, man, is to teach them shit. I would rather someone be stupid with their muzzle or their trigger finger or their safety or something like that on the range, hopefully not shooting anybody, of course. We've had NDs by students on the range. It's happened. We've trained thousands of people all over the country. We're going to have some NDs, all right? Yeah. And when it happens, it's like, all right, everybody stop. Is everybody okay? Cool. Learning opportunity. Gather around, my little chickens. Yeah. We're going to have a little fucking mama hen talk, right? How did that happen? Why did that happen? Right? The last ND we had, that guy was super smoked, man. It was summertime here in Arizona. Quite honestly, it might have been our fault just as much as it was his. We should have recognized the symptoms before we did and benched that dude, quite honestly. But we thought he could fucking push through it. He had an ND. So everybody gathered around and we talked about it.
Yeah.
And that dude was super like, fuck, man. Yeah. It's cool though, right? Like, we're all going to learn from this, right? And we did. Everybody learned. And now when that guy goes out there into the world, he's going to have a much better level of confidence and confidence with his gun than if I make him unload it every time he's done shooting it and then send him off in the world and go, now go ahead and load it up and do whatever you want with it. No longer under my eye, under my professional, you know, supervision. Go ahead and just go out there and just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Even though you paid me to teach you how to handle this, I only want to teach you how to handle it in one direction. Like, that's what's insane to me. Oh, I only train to shoot in one direction, look in one direction, move in one direction.
Yeah.
Dude, it just blows my mind. It's square range habits and they get people killed. Mm-hmm. So to wrap things up today, here's what I want you to do. Look at everything you do. Everything you do in practice and training. I mean, stop doing it, look at it, and if you cannot explain to yourself, or even better, to somebody else, why you're doing it, don't fucking do it until you can. Until you can explain to someone, this is the real world reason why I do that. And I don't care if it's combatively based, competitively based, or even if you do like shooting on a square range, that's fine. Explain to yourself and hopefully somebody else, this is why I do this thing. And if you can't do it, then you don't understand it. Stop freaking doing that thing and find something better or figure out a way to explain why you do what you do. Because context should drive everything. Everything that you're doing. Way too much bullshit square range habit. All right. That's it.
That's it.
I'm done.
Rants done for the day.
I'm all gassed out. If you want to bring us out to train with you, you can always host us locally where you are. We'll come to you. It's easy to host us. Email us for more information. info@trainingaz.com is how you can get a hold of us easily. Don't forget the Remora giveaway, my patrons. All right, send it on over. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Red Wire Gear. We are proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out the other shows on the network. And next week, we're going to be talking about a very specific listener-submitted idea, how to get the most out of shooting and training by yourself when you don't have that eye to look at you. How do you get the most out of it? So we're going to talk about that specifically, shooting and training by yourself, and how to get the most out of that time instead of just going out there blaze ops and saying, I guess I'm pretty good and leaving. All right, you guys, until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.